I want to go to the Jason Van Dyke trial. Stacey St. Clair has been writing about it in the Chicago Tribune. You'll read her story on page one, and you can follow her online, chicagotribune.com. Stacey, it's John. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
I've been watching and listening to the testimony today, and much of it is from the medical examiners describing the wounds to Laquan McDonald, correct?
Right. It took, she just finished up with the 16th wound just like a minute ago, and basically, it took nearly 2 hours for her to walk the jury through every single gunshot wound that Laquan McDonald received that night. And there were 24 wounds in all, because there are 16 entry wounds and then 8 exit wounds.
Why did they do this? Why did they take that time to describe the shots?
Well, I mean, I think there's many things at play here. First of all, they want to show the jury just how bullet-ridden this young man was, and how many bullets were fired into him. They also are going to have a debate, I think, later on with the defense. You could tell it was sort of gearing up to that, as to which bullets were shot when and which bullets caused his death. But the medical examiner from Cook County said, you know what, you can't tell from from the examination which order the bullets were, fired into his body and
right.
which, shots ultimately led to his death.
She said because not only is the victim moving, but the shooter is moving, and it's hard to know the order in which
Correct.
The shots were received. But do we know, or are they offering an opinion on when and where Laquan McDonald died?
That's another fight that they've clearly been having all morning, and the prosecution really wants to push the idea that, he was still alive and people were still trying to save him, up until he was at Mount Sinai Hospital. And they had a paramedic come on and say that, yes, he did have a pulse when he was in the ambulance. Now, his heart stopped beating en route to the hospital, but he did have a pulse. And then the defense is sort of pushing back on the idea that, he was dead almost from the get-go. And part of the reason they're fighting over that is because if you look at the video of the shooting, if you kind of watch it to the end, you see a lot of police officers standing by around the body of Laquan McDonald and nobody offering him aid. And in fact, the only one who does is a Cook County sheriff's officer. And he testified yesterday. Remember that he came and he sort of leaned down and said to Laquan, hang in there. I can hear the ambulance coming. And he can hear Laquan's breathing. So now I think it's a perception. If no one in the video from the Chicago Police Department is offering Laquan McDonald aid, does that speak to the mindset of what was going on that night?
Hey, Stephanie, it's Steve. And I want to follow up on that. Why is that relevant when we're considering whether or not Van Dyke murdered Laquan McDonald? Why is what the other officers did relevant to his trial?
Well, I think I don't know that in the end it is, legally relevant, but I think there is a perception that, and Jason Van Dyke doesn't, try to offer aid either, but just that nobody cared about this boy, this 17-year-old, and I think that furthers the perception, so they're doing their best to sort of minimize that. Does it have anything to do whether Jason Van Dyke had a reasonable fear for his life and was, had the authority to shoot Laquan McDonald? No, it doesn't, but it looks very bad on that video, and I think both sides know it, and they want to play up to that.
Yeah, I'm surprised that they didn't. I mean, I guess each side gets their turn, but mm-hmm. if I'm Jason Van Dyke's attorneys, I can see how this 2 hours of bullet by bullet. I mean, so the shots took 6 seconds? No, you just went 2 hours through this young man's injuries. And they show the autopsy photos. You see his body with a giant
yeah.
stitch across the chest, and you see, I guess that was from the autopsy, but then the bullet holes in his chest. His body's riddled with wounds.
And yeah, I mean, they cracked his chest
awful.
They cracked his chest at the hospital, according to testimony today. But yeah, I mean, it looks awful. You see the exit and entrance wound of every bullet that exited his body, and then for every bullet wound that you know, was lodged in, and you see an X-ray of his body that's like filled with bullets. So it's a very rough thing for jurors to go through. In fact, when you talk to jurors after murder trials, they'll say whatever the verdict was, that the worst day they had was the day when they just had to look at those autopsy photos, because most people in their lives, in their everyday lives, don't come across these photos.
I was thinking that as I was watching CLTV today or listening to the audio on our radio station. Sometimes I'd hear something and then I'd run over to a TV screen to see and almost wished that I hadn't. What's also just, and to Steve Bertrand's point, I'm not sure this has anything to do with whether or not Jason Van Dyke pulled the trigger and somewhere there or in route, Laquan McDonald died. I mean, none of the what I'm about to say is changed by that fact, but the lack of humanity that the police officers showed this gurgling 17-year-old kid on the street is upsetting to me. It's hard to imagine. That part of the story is hard to fathom.
Well, but that then speaks to what the prosecutors are trying to convey, that there was a lack of humanity that night, and when Jason Van Dyke fired his gun at Laquan McDonald, and so it just sort of perpetuates that idea.
Yeah, but I could be an attorney someday, Stacey, because here again they could say no, but that doesn't change the fact that he was wielding a knife and was a danger to society. Anybody's passing is going to be unpleasant, particularly under these sorts of circumstances, but that doesn't change the fact that he had to fire his weapon the first time. So John Walsh, one of the officers, was he Joe Walsh or John
Joseph,
Walsh?
Yeah. Joseph.
Was he Van Dyke's partner?
He was Van Dyke's partner that night, but they had only worked together on two occasions.
Two occasions, yeah, okay. So he testifies, and let me take a quick break. Come back and answer this question if you have the time, and that is, was it a mistake to put Walsh on the stand? Stacey Sinclair writes for the Chicago Tribune. Stacey, you are following. You are at the courthouse, the Officer Van Dyke trial. Was it a mistake to put Officer Walsh on the stand, since it seems to me, that's the prosecution, that he more or less supported the actions of Jason Van Dyke?
You know, I think prosecutors are in a very tough situation, and I think Walsh's testimony yesterday showed exactly why. They have to prosecute a case in which their eyewitness police officers don't believe there should be a prosecution, right? They don't support it, and they believe the actions were justified. So, they have officers who are sort of hostile witnesses almost. I mean, they're not declared such, but, for all intents and purposes, they are. And they need those officers to get on stand and tell the jury, yes, I did not fire my gun. I did not,
Wasn't there a scene where one of the officers was asked to, help me, Stacey, but identify the, was it the victim or the perpetrator?
Yeah, so Joseph Walsh was on the stand, and there was a still image of Laquan, walking down the street, and you've seen it. It's the the infamous video, and there's in the image you can see Laquan, and you can see Van Dyke, and you can see Walsh, and so the prosecutor said, "Can you circle yourself in this picture?" And Walsh did, and then the prosecutor said, "Can you circle the defendant?" And he circled Laquan McDonald.
As a mistake, what's the relevance of that? Why are you guys talking about that?
Well, that speaks to what Stacey's saying, that the crime might have been on McDonald's behalf and not that he was shot. That he was
correct.
The bad guy here.
Correct. I mean, the get-go, the defense said this whole incident was orchestrated and written and directed by Laquan McDonald. Laquan McDonald is on trial right alongside Jason Van Dyke. That is how this is shaking out. Yeah. And what does he's a former police officer now, but what does he do when asked to point out the defendant in the picture? He circles the person who ends up being fatally shot.
He also said, he was swinging his knife up high, and he was turning and looking in a sinister or vacant way at us, and yet the video doesn't support that. He says, that was our view. Maybe that was Van Dyke's view, too. But if I was the prosecution then, I would have given him the clicker or some button that would have said pause, and I would have rolled the video, and I said, okay, stop the video when he's doing what you are describing, because that does not appear in the video. I would call his BS, if you will. I know that sounds biased, but I mean, that's the case I would be trying to make if I was the prosecution. I would have said, okay, take us to the point in the video that shows what you're saying, because it's not there.
And the prosecutor did do that. There were some lawyers in the gallery that I spoke to who thought it should have been hammered home. You know, almost like you said, every second. Do you see it now? Is his arm raised now?
No, it's not.
Where's his arm now?
No, it's not. It never goes above the shoulder the way he described.
Right. And so does the jury look at that and go, he's not telling us the truth, and, you know, therefore, when he tells us, he's not telling us the truth about where the arm is, so therefore, when he says there was a reasonable fear that led Jason Van Dyke to shoot, do we disregard that too? Or did he convince the jury successfully that, hey, I saw something because I'm in front of Laquan in this picture, and you've seen him from behind. I saw something you can't see.
That's what I would say, because maybe that is also the truth, right? Your colleague Eric Zorin kind of wondered along these lines in the Tribune today, too, that maybe what we see is either different than what he saw, and you know, what he saw is his own reality. Even if it's not borne out by the video, if that's what he saw, felt, or thought at the time, if, however, inaccurate or not compatible with the video, that may be his truth. That may actually be what he perceived to be going on at that moment, right?
Right. And I think, you know, if you, Eric asked himself this question, I think he came down firmly that, you know that yeah, they didn't see something different. I think what you can perceive in a moment like that, it could be different from reality. But then, if you see it wrong, was your fear? If you were wrong, was your fear reasonable?
Well, and his partner did not fire his weapon. You know, I mean, only Van
correct.
Dyke fired his weapon. So even if they had that shared and imperfect view, why is it that nobody else pulled the trigger? Okay, Stacey, I got to let you go. I know you're
okay,
busy.
Okay, take care, guys.
Stacey, as always, thank you. Let's visit again, all right?
Anytime, guys. Talk to you later.